In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Have you been saved? This was the question which met me week by week early on a Sunday morning when I turned on the TV in our living room. And no, this wasn't MTV, that was Saturday morning. This was the televangelisation ministries of the 1980s, which in Australia had prime time from 7 a.m. right through till 11 a.m. each Sunday morning. Incidentally, that's not the case now. Large congregations, huge choirs, bands, stirring preaching, long, I remember this. And following the sermon, there would be an advert, taking my vision to a room full of telephone operators, taking calls. And the slogan which would come across the TV would say, "Give now, we need you." And these networks had amazing followings, soon becoming TV and financial empires. The Swaggarts and the Bakers among them became household names. My father made this observation. How well orchestrated the program would be. A long, rousing sermon, a call to commitment, a call for financial support, and to cap it all off, an aria of inspiration and comfort from Mrs. Baker, famously known as Tammy Faye. My mother was more curious about this deep-searching question. Who did her makeup? Rather than listening to the tone or the sentiment of the lyrics. And underneath all of this, it can't be underestimated that huge numbers of people believed their lives were truly changed as a result of this ministry. A whole new dynamic of church came to life. It came straight to our lounge rooms week by week, every Sunday morning. And church attendance in mainstream denominations especially began to be affected. They were the same people, though, who felt let down when scandals on several levels began to become known within these networks. As the empires grew, so did the almost cult-like status of their leaders. Like any institution or organization which becomes a powerful industry, the temptation to be carried by the success of the ministry can become the dominating focus, and it can eventually take over. We do not need to look as far as some of the mega churches of today to see this play out. This dynamic can be happening in any community of faith, no matter its size, whether it has a TV network or not. Jesus offers a stern reminder to all church leaders. And that reminder is this, that we, men and women, need to embody and live what we teach and preach. And to do so is to become a living witness to the Word made flesh, Jesus. This itinerant preacher makes discerning observations of those who are preaching and teaching within his locale. To say all you need to do is to believe in Jesus and you will be saved is not enough. To make this affirmation that each of us believes in Jesus calls us to turn our lives in the direction of Jesus' own life, death and resurrection, and there discover that we need to live lives worthy of the salvation we proclaim. This is a living and ripe salvation, like that tree growing strong, which asks each one of us to move aside from patterns of life which promote the self for self's sake and commit ourselves to live our lives for the sake of others. It is a radical way of life. This life cannot be separated from living within a community of faith just like this one. Within the community of faith, our life in Christ is strengthened, challenged, and sustained. And how will we discern the fruits of good and life-giving ministry in our midst? Well, our Lenten Bible educator, Dr. Amy Jewel Levine, helps us with this question as she reflects on the Sermon of the Mount. She reminds us of Galatians 5. The fruits of the Spirit: peace, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, and self-control. The measuring stick for discerning the quality of the teacher is the teaching and their capacity, I include myself, to live what we preach in our own lives. Coupled with this is a sacred calling to inspire those within our pastoral care to do likewise. If this is our mission, our work, then we are truly moving towards becoming the community of faith which lives for the life of others and not for ourselves or our own gain. Jesus is clear in his teaching. Those who hear need to act upon his words. We've all known people whom we have worked with and feel that they are somewhat going through the motions. But we know also that their heart is not really invested in what they are doing. Jesus makes it clear that this can also happen in the life of ministry. And the challenge is this: if our ministry, which we offer in Jesus' name, is meant to be life-giving ministry, whether that comes from an ordained person or from a lay person, needs to mirror the change, reconciliation, and transformation which we've allowed to unfold and continue to unfold within our own lives. And if we don't do this, the people we minister to are soon going to see that that's missing. We all need a solid foundation on which to build our life in God. This life in God needs to be nurtured in a pattern of prayer, worship, and self-sacrificial giving for others. Our capacity to live a life in service for others is on shallow ground if it does not cost us something of ourselves. In this place, our human ego should be shaped by an emerging, unfolding desire to work for a common good. And this common good, which is within each of us, but is also beyond us, something that includes us, but also encompasses everyone. And hence, for this ministry to have real effect, real power, we need to set aside our own needs and to discern the needs of the community and jump in and get on with the work. Amy Jill reminds us that Jesus does not speak out of a particular school of Jewish teaching or regularly debates his teaching in the synagogues, as do other teachers. Yet he speaks as one who has authority. Jesus' followers experienced then a new way of life in learning Jesus' teachings. We can too. The authority, often spoken, is the challenge Jesus offered them and offers us to constantly live deeper, engaged, and more purposeful lives. God willing, this call is still ripe, alive, and active right here, right now. The world needs to hear that we are prepared to live our lives in service for others, especially now when mutual trust and relationships have become so very much fractured. So then, have we been saved? This is ultimately God's business and not ours. What we can say clearly is this: that a life within a life of faith in a Christian community, lived in self-sacrificial love, is indeed a saving action within itself, through which the lives of others are changed. And in doing so, so are we. Amen.